Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
Wake up! It's your dream time hour on UK Health Radio. And I'm Teresa Chung.
And I'm Kelly Sullivan Walden, your other dream diva. And before we get into our extraordinary conversation today with Karen Newell and Eben Alexander, I wanted to just touch on a few unusual and maybe difficult things that are going on in our world. So I just want to acknowledge what may be going on in the background of what our listeners are thinking about, Teresa. There's been some tragic events in the mind, body, spirit world. David Wilcock recently passed this week. And there's also a lot of reports about scientists that have gone missing or have died in mysterious ways. And I just wanted to end, there was an assassination attempt on the US president. And so yeah, there's a lot, I would say just a lot. So I wanna approach this time, we want to approach this time with some gentleness, some care, and some calm and some breath. We wanna look at, like in the Course in Miracles, or A Course in Miracles, they say, look at the crucifixion, but dwell not on it. So instead of just jumping to conclusions, we want to hold space for inquiry, for a way to honor the lives of those who have passed. And we also want to stay rooted in what we have some agency over. For example, our dreams and our inner world. Times like this, it's more important than ever to stay connected to that which doesn't go away, that which doesn't change, our spiritual connection, our inner guidance, our dream work. So we're here to find truth and clarity and healing, not from the outer news, but from the headlines that are going on in our nightly dreams. So that's exactly what we're aiming to explore together today. Back to you, Teresa.
Thank you for sharing that so thoughtfully, Kelly. Beautiful. Because when events feel unsettling, it's natural for us to seek meaning, but it is important we stay grounded too and don't let fear fill in all the gaps. And this is, as Kelly says, where our inner world, our dreams and intuition can help us process uncertainty with clarity rather than overwhelm. Rather than reacting from a place of fear, we can use them as invitations to listen more deeply to the calm, still, loving voice within us. So wherever you are listening to us right now, because I know this show goes all over the world, whether you're waking up or winding down or somewhere in between, we are so glad you've joined us, because helping people understand their dreams and follow their intuition feels especially crucial in the world right now, doesn't it, Kelly?
Oh, it's, yeah, absolutely. So these are, I mean, there's probably never been a time on planet Earth where it hasn't been challenging. That's the nature of what it's like to be a human. But this is a particularly, undeniably challenging time. And when things are in chaos external to us, one of the most stabilizing, restorative things we can do, as we yammer on about a lot on this show, as you would expect, a show called The Healing Power of Your Dreams, is to say, let's pay attention to our unique messages that are coming to us from our spirit, from our soul, as we pay attention to our dreams that are happening inside of us each night.
Exactly. We're talking about your night vision and especially your dream recall, because waking up with even a fragment of a dream on your mind is actually a really healthy, positive sign. It suggests your brain is actively processing, integrating, and creatively problem solving while you sleep.
Exactly. I like to think of it as a nightly report card from your psyche saying, hello, I'm online, I am working, I am trying to help you make sense of these crazy things that are happening in your life.
Yeah, and science increasingly shows that dreaming supports emotional regulation, memory consolidation, and even mental resilience. In other words, dreaming isn't random or nonsense or a waste of time, it's healing.
Exactly. Let's be honest. Who couldn't use a little more creativity and emotional resilience? And I would even say that memory consolidation right now. We don't need to carry every single thing with us every single day. We just need a little more space. And we're getting that resilience each night.
But with the theme of memory that you've just run with, Kelly, there,
Yes.
many people don't recall their dreams. I get that message all the time. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
But just
Oh, yeah.
gently setting the intention before you go to sleep, saying, "I will remember my dreams," can begin to shift that.
Exactly. It's like sending a message to your unconscious saying, I'm listening, I'm paying attention. So, on that note, we have a listener to our show that has paid attention to his dream. So, bravo, yay. So, this is a really amazing dream. And, like I always like to say, that when we hear anybody's dream, when we listen, we're listening from our soul. Dreams speak the language of soul. So, the dream is relevant for everyone. When one person is tapped into their soul, it's connected to the soul of the world. So this is for everybody. This is what Josh writes. I dreamed I was in a place that felt both like a concert hall and a familiar home. I knew I was there to meet someone who had passed away, my grandmother. I couldn't see her clearly at first, but I could hear music, like a melody being played. Gosh, I feel emotionally been just tapping into this dream, like a melody being played on a piano somewhere far away, but also inside me. Then I felt her presence, and she didn't speak at first. She just let the music come closer. When I finally saw her, she looked younger and healthy. She smiled and said, "I never left." And I woke up crying, but calm. Can you believe that,
Kelly, thank you for
Teresa?
that emotional reading. I love the fact that you're American. I feel it too, but I'm as well. It's a very thin veiled dream, isn't it? The kind where the boundary between worlds feels almost like it isn't there anymore. And it's rich in symbolism too, Josh. Thank you. And I know you're listening. Let's take it step by step now. First, this hybrid space, part concert hall, part home.
Yes, and this is a little nod to our guests that are going to be coming up in a little bit, Eben Alexander and Karen Newell. But a concert hall in a dream, and I've had dreams like this, Teresa, I bet you have too. It suggests that there's music happening, there's vibration, there's emotion that's being expressed, it's collective. And home is different for everybody, but we could say in general, there's a sense of intimacy, maybe innocence, safety, a sense of initial belonging.
Lovely. Josh, in a dream space, your grief is meeting love. It's beautiful. Your public emotion meets private memory. It's as if your psyche is saying this relationship is both deeply personal and universally human.
So let's talk about the music. That's the spine of the dream. What do you think the music is about, Teresa?
Absolutely. Hearing music in dreams, it happens to me sometimes. Not, I want it to happen more, actually. It often symbolizes really deep emotional truth that cannot yet be expressed in your waking life in words.
There's an energy to these dreams that it's kind of like it can elevate us beyond what our ordinary senses can. My husband sometimes will hear a bit of music and he'll wake up in the morning and he'll go to his keyboard and play it and try to replicate it. In many spiritual traditions, music is associated with connections beyond the physical, the frequency, the resonance, the harmony between worlds. Psychologically, it can also represent integration. I love the saying that we pray twice when we sing. So it's like the mind is tuning itself after loss.
And now the departed grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
She appears gradually in Josh's dream, not immediately visible, but she's sensed first, isn't she?
Yeah. So this is very typical in a visitation style dream. The presence, the feeling tone often precedes and sometimes is even more important than the image itself.
It suggests, Josh, emotional readiness unfolding within you. You're not forcing this image. It's a forming naturally within the dream. It's beautiful.
I love that when words are spoken in a dream, I think it's so special because mostly everything is symbolic, but the words are worth paying attention to. I never left. I never left. That line is so powerful.
Oh, it is, Kelly. Symbolically, it doesn't necessarily mean literal continuation, but it very often reflects the enduring psychological and emotional bond. I mean, depending on your belief, if you believe in an afterlife or not.
Which, if you don't believe in an afterlife after the show, you're going to.
You will.
So
You
this
wait till our
is
guest.
exactly,
We're
yeah, just you wait, just you wait. This is
the
where the
warm-up
research,
act.
exactly. We're just the da-da-da-da-da-da. So there have been studies on grief dreams, and these are so empowering because a million people can tell you life goes on, they still love you. But when you have one of these kind of dreams, you know it. When you have this, it's like you have that continued bond with your deceased loved one in dreams. There's nothing that can help you with your emotional, getting your emotions back online and getting adjusted better than one of these kind of dreams, Josh.
Oh, yeah, because the relationship doesn't end, doesn't die, it transforms. Death ends a life, not a relationship, as we always say on this show. The love
That's
inside
so true.
Molly, to quote a movie I love, Patrick Swayze
The
goes, "You take it with you."
Oh, Teresa, you've got those. You've got there's certain movies that Teresa loves. There's The
I keep coming
Terminator.
back. Yeah,
There's
Terminator, Ghost. Yeah, it shows my
think there's
age.
Ghost. Oh yes, and Lord of the Rings, of course, but
Of
Ghost,
course.
of course. All right, so let's talk about one of the key reasons that the mind is struggles less when it can maintain a sense of relationship continuity. I mean, when you think, I mean, in my world, so many people are dying. I mean, I guess that's the gift of getting older. Everyone just kind of, they go. But I keep remembering because I had a little near-death experience. It was not as long as Eben's, but it does help to have a sense that there is more going on, that the continuation. We continue, and it reflects the understanding that the death ends a life, as Teresa said. So there's some healing happening in real time when we can have one of these kind of dreams.
Yeah, and Josh, waking up crying but calm is also powerful, isn't it? That emotional release paired with kind of healing, catharsis, resolution.
Yeah,
Yeah.
this is healing. These are
Yeah.
so healing.
So if we step back, Kelly, what might this dream be saying overall?
Well, I've had a dream like this about my own grandmother, and I'd say if it's my dream, the love is still accessible. In fact, it continues. In fact, it may be even stronger than it was before. Sometimes our loved ones can help us in our lives even more powerfully when they're on the other side. This connection is still alive, and you're not crazy. You're safe to let it in, to feel it.
And the sound quality, the music acts almost like a bridge, doesn't it? A stairway to heaven between grief and comfort, memory and presence, absence and continuity.
Right. And if you can see us, you'd see Teresa has the Stairway to Heaven behind her. I have a little heavenly background in honor of our upcoming guests. But it's also worth noting that the grandmother appears young and healthy. So
Yeah.
that's an important piece. It's a classic symbol expressing vitality beyond decay, because so many times we're left with the image of somebody right as they're dying. And people, they took, Teresa, I don't know if you know this, but they took pictures of me as I was in my death experience. It was the worst moment of my life. I was like blue and white and like drooling. I would hate it to have people have that image of me preserved forever. So I think we come to people in our dreams after we're on the other side to show them, no, my spirit is still young and vital. I lived be like who I am is beyond illness or loss.
Yeah, it really is. So, in essence, this dream is not just about the grandmother, it's about Josh's capacity too to still experience love and connection to her without physical limitation.
So let's just take that in as a little pause for all of us, because Josh's dream is all of our dream. And whether you interpret dreams psychologically, spiritually, or somewhere in between, they're always showing us one thing. We are in a unified field. We are all connected to ourselves, to each other, and to something so much larger than our waking logic can explain.
And that's the true and real healing power of your dream. So stay with us. We're going to be right back after this very short ad break. And when we return, we'll continue exploring the emotional language of dreams and what they reveal about love, loss, and resilience with two stunning guests today. You already know who they are because Kelly spilled the beans. It's Dr. Evan Alexander and Karen Newell. Okay.
Right, and we'll head into that break with a special moment inspired by today's healing dream theme.
Yes,
What's the song,
Kelly,
Teresa?
the song that has carried generations through love and loss. Oh my, I want to sing it. I'm like that, you
Teresa, we love it when you sing. Why don't, instead of the Righteous Brothers,
know.
let's have you sing.
My
And cut and curtsy. We're gonna go and let the Righteous Brothers take it away. So, Johan, please.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, everyone. We're back. Like it or not, Kelly and I are back. We bring with us two extraordinary souls. I'm so honored as well. They did appear on this show way back when it launched, Kelly. This was before you hopped on board. And it was mesmerizing. But the show was very young then. And now it's kind of got into its stride. And we've got our listeners. Thank you, everyone who's supporting the show. They were the first ones I wanted to invite back, Kelly. Extraordinary.
Well, they started it off with a bang, and we're just continuing from there. So, what a perfect pairing for today's theme, dreams and sound, that, as it turns out, don't simply fade when we wake up. Some would say that when life changes form, it doesn't change. I always like to say that a really wonderful dream or a really great experience isn't over just because that moment is done. So it's so exciting. Tell us more about Evan
Yay, our first
Alexander.
guest, if you didn't know that
The
already,
first.
because we can't keep secrets, can we? We're just like, we are becoming
I'm
like
so
James.
American. I am like, I wear everything on my sleeve. There's no
Have a bit of
secret, no poker
mystery,
faces.
Kelly. Our first
I
guest
know.
is
Sorry.
Dr. Eben Alexander, the New York Times best-selling author of Proof of Heaven, a neurosurgeon whose own near-death experience completely transformed his understanding of consciousness, the brain, and what may lie beyond.
And joining him is Karen Newell, his partner in life and work, and co-founder of Sacred Acoustics, an approach that uses sound frequencies and binaural beats to support deep meditative and expanded states of awareness. Together, Karen and Evan explore the intersection of consciousness, healing, and sound-based states of awareness, helping us understand how vibration and inner experience may be far more connected than we typically imagine. It's fascinating. Because today we've been talking about dreams where music is not just a background detail, but it was communication, presence, and meaning. So how perfect.
And Dr. Alexander's work suggests that consciousness itself may not be confined to the brain alone. And Karen, his partner in life and work, endorses that as well with all the work she does in sound healing. And this opens up profound questions about dreams, perception, and even what we call reality. Eben, I'm going to start with you. Your book, Proof of Heaven, of course, it describes a profound shift in your understanding of consciousness following your near-death experience. When we think about listener dreams like Josh, which Kelly and I were mulling over before you joined the interview, where music, presence, and connection with a deceased loved one feel vividly real, how do you personally interpret the relationship between dream consciousness and what you experienced beyond your body and your brain and your near-death experience?
Well, certainly in the 18 years since my coma and my near-death experience, I've come to realize that kind of the scientific evidence in this revolution that everyone's talking about is really all about simply acknowledging that this thing we call consciousness is not created by the brain, but is basically we're sharing the mind of the universe, and we're all in this together. And the dream space allows access to the kind of information that's also accessible in very broad form in a near-death experience. But the dream space, meditation space, the space that people encounter with certain psychedelic substances, these are all kind of different facets. But I think that in many ways, they all start to approach what we can call the spiritual world and our kind of bigger sense of connection and meaning in our lives and shared relationships. All of that kind of comes to the fore as we acknowledge that, materialism and our outdated notions of individual minds that were isolated with these brains is false. And that, in fact, we're all eternal souls. We're in this beautiful living tapestry, working together, growing together. But a lot of the knowledge that's necessary in managing our lives in this material world is knowledge that comes out of that spiritual realm. And that comes through dreams and all these other different modes we've talked about. And certainly, music, vibration, sacred acoustics, to me, has been very powerful.
Oh, I want to jump in here and just say we're not going to cover necessarily the basics of your story because you were on the previous episode. So for people that want to know how Eben died or how he went to the other side, how he went into this coma that lasted over a week, please listen to the
Oh,
earlier
give the
episode of
edited
The Human Power of Your
highlights,
Dream.
Kelly, because they're going to be people. I want them
I know. Evan, so maybe give us the edited highlight, but what I want to make sure I get in here is, as Teresa was talking about the connection between dreams and a near-death experience, I want to know what you're personally carrying with you. I mean, I had my death experience that was tiny, but I crystallized it down to kind of the highest peak
feeling a
of
bit
that,
left
and I
out,
can't.
Kelly, here because
I
having
know we're gonna. I'm gonna have to just like, I don't know. No, let's. I don't even want to joke about it. But
No,
like,
it's not.
there's something that I know you carry with you from that heightened state. So give us the basics of what happened to you. But I'm really curious about what your little touchstone is that you carry with you when life gets challenging.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what I went through. So I witnessed this incredible scene of beautiful spiritual connection, of love, of light, of reconnecting with, spiritually important souls in my journey, etc. All of that happened in a setting where my neuroscientific knowledge says that meningitis in my brain would not have allowed for any kind of dream or hallucination. So having any kind of phenomenal experience at all is a big surprise and requires explanation. Not only that, my recovery is something, if you read the medical case report on my medical records, makes it very clear that my recovery was very unexpected. I was down to a 2% chance of survival with essentially no chance of real recovery. And yet this rich, beautiful spiritual journey that's so similar to millions of other near-death experiences in these realms of love and light is a very reassuring touchstone. And that's a good point that you make. It's important people acknowledge that you don't have to have your own NDE to get this kind of knowledge and understand it. Dreams, Meditation, centering prayer, these are all ways of getting into that mental spiritual space and learning a lot more about our reason for being and our shared meaning and purpose with the universe at large, and also how we're all interconnected. As you said earlier, this is one of the most beautiful parts of modern spirituality is the scientific support for the one mind and the binding force of love.
Thank you, Evan, and thank you for reassuring listeners. You don't need to nearly die to believe in heaven or glimpse the afterlife. In a way, your dreams are a portal to that every night. I'm curious about your story as well, and how 18 years on, goodness, time does fly. You haven't changed a bit. As I remember when you did so much to talk about the afterlife and heaven and on the map. So thank you. But I'm curious how your thoughts now, because I do know you talked about shadow figures and going through a murky world beforehand. That's kind of like nightmarish scenario. And a lot of people fear death because of this sort of like they may be plunged into darkness and nightmares. How do you think about it now when you reflect back on that murky world that you kind of went through first?
Well, I must say I learned a lot. That's a realm that I call the earthworm's eye view, and it was kind of a primitive coarse realm, and it's one that I passed through multiple times during my near-death experience. And of course, it was very kind of dark and featureless compared to the rich spiritual worlds that I then encountered in the rest of the journey. But it to me, it's been a beautiful lesson, and again, I can't stress enough how it's my NDE was an incredibly important touchstone, but all the work I've done in meditation since that time has been played an incredible role in helping me to fill in the blanks and start to build an actual worldview and work into a daily practice of meditation, the ways that I can connect with that world. But the important thing to remember, of course, is this is the world where we actually get soul growth done. You know, it's and that's a very important thing to state here. These the spiritual realm, and that's where we have life reviews, reconnect with souls of departed loved ones, etc. But ultimately, the other big scientific arm of this kind of awakening is the reincarnation stories, past life memories in children, etc. So there's a much bigger explanation required, and that's what I think we're headed towards.
Thank
Can I
you.
just have one more question before, and then we're itching to have Karen on because I know she's got so much to say. But for people who are feeling so upset about the state of the world, about kind of the power mongers, about this kind of injustice, this power imbalance, you've got a perspective about this, the life review, and how like ultimate justice in some ways. So for people that are feeling like life is just unfair, what would you say to them from your perspective?
I would say the life review is a very critical concept, and it's far more than just vague memories of events of your life. It's tremendous. I mean, if you there's a review article by Bruce Grayson that goes into detail on 700 life reviews. And in that review, basically a third of people have their entire life involved. And the only way to understand that is to realize that you're in a timeless realm in that spiritual world. We have an illusion of passage of earth time in this material world, but our souls exist more in that eternal realm. And that's why life reviews are so important. And most importantly, in his paper about life reviews, is that about three quarters of people say that the events are being relived, not just remembered, and not only that, they're being relived from the perspective of everyone involved. So the way Karen and I often put it, the life review is like the golden rule: treat others as you would like to be treated, written into the very fabric of the universe. And especially as science is starting to prove the reality of near-death experiences that happen in basically one in five cardiac arrest patients, so they're not uncommon. It's time to move on beyond the simplistic earlier management by materialist scientists that simply dismissed NDEs as impossible because of they don't fit the theoretical models of materialism. Well, neither does consciousness. So we're moving beyond all of that into a much richer understanding of our relationship with the world at large. And I would just remind people, don't confuse your ego self and that little voice in your head, which is more an annoying roommate, with your higher soul. And that's what we can develop much more fully with meditation, centering prayer, going within, when you acknowledge that you're sharing the mind of the universe and that we all share that mind. It's a much broader vision of our free will and how it can influence unfolding reality.
Bravo. Thank you. I'm going to re-listen to that on demand. Thank
Oh,
you.
yeah,
And thank you for
over and
reminding us
over.
that when you can't understand injustice and cruelty, and you think, well, what happens to these people in the afterlife, that they will feel what they have put other people through, not as punishment, but for them to evolve, because we all have to evolve. Whew, going to take a deep breath now. I'm going to bring Karen in. Karen, your work with sacred acoustics explores how sound vibration can guide your inner world and connect you to expanded states of consciousness and awareness. And I'm going to bring in one of our guest presenters here to chat to you about this because she's a sound healer. She was so excited when we said you were going to be on, because she's all over sacred acoustics. So Alex, are you there?
I am here. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Alex. I'm going to bring you into the
Hi,
conversation,
Alex.
and I know that you have a lot that you want to ask Karen.
Yeah, I really do, Karen. So I know that it was the binaural beats that allowed you to start accessing these altered states of consciousness. I just wondered if you could tell us a bit more about that. A, what binaural beats are for people who might not be aware, and B, how it really affected your trajectory and what it showed you.
Well, binaural beats are a particular kind of sound where one frequency is played in one ear, the left ear, and a different frequency, slightly different, is played in the other ear, the right ear. And so we generally focus on around a 4 hertz difference because 4 hertz is the border between awake and asleep, between delta brainwaves and theta brainwaves. And so this is a really interesting space when we're right in between falling asleep and waking up. When you're first falling asleep at night, they call that the hypnagogic state. When you're first waking up, they call that the hypnopompic state. And this state really helps you to have your body profoundly relaxed, but your mind is still alert and aware. And your mind is aware in a different sort of way, a little more focused, a little less distracted by daily routines. And this is where some of that altered states of consciousness can take place. And I had a really hard time meditating when I first wanted to learn. And I thought it would be easy. Oh, you just sit in silence and voila, you go to some blissful samadhi, as the Eastern teachers say. And no, it wasn't like that at all. It was actually rather frustrating because my mind just kept wandering. And so binaural beats helped to quiet the mind. Now, at first, they just helped me to fall asleep. And so there can be some kind of practice that you need to do to maintain that sort of body profoundly awake. Excuse me, body profoundly relaxed, but mind awake. Body relaxed, mind awake is the goal. And that's what binaural beats can help with. But another tool for me was moving into the heart. And that, of course, is a whole other form of vibrational states that is a little more subtle than sound vibration, but nonetheless quite related.
Yeah, it's in these liminal states that the magic happens, I always say. Karen, what was it that led you on this path to be exploring binaural beats in the first place? I'd love to hear a bit more about your journey.
Well, I learned that sound in general could be useful. And at first, I would listen to like brass bowls, crystal bowls, gongs, sort of those sounds that just maintain a sort of monotonous sound. And what interested me later is when we recorded these sounds coming out of crystal bowls and brass bowls, they're actually emitting binaural beats. And so when you're listening to a crystal bowl, it's putting out this beautiful sort of overtone that what we mostly are paying attention to. But at the same time, you're hearing this dee 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 underneath, which is the sound bouncing between the two walls of the bowl. And so that's why two different sounds can help create these binaural beats that really help relax the brain from that thinking state. That thinking state all of us are in all the time. And very hard to get out of that thinking state, especially if you're trying to fall asleep. That's why they're good for sleep. They often help enhance people's dream spaces too, if you listen before bedtime.
Oh, that's so interesting. Speaking of the other side, and it's time for a very short break. So, everyone, hold on. We'll see you on the other side.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. Welcome back to the Healing Power of Your Dreams here on UK Health Radio. We are talking to the amazing Eben Alexander and Karen Newell about dreams and sounds, what dreams and sounds may come.
What dreams may come.
And we're going to bring in another one of our wonderful guest hosts, now with a very special interest in afterlife signs and spiritual awakening, author and Doctor Strange actor, Phil Webster. Come on in, Phil. I know you've got many questions for Eben and Karen. Take
thanks,
it away,
Kelly.
Phil.
Thanks, guys. And yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, hi, Eben and Karen. Teresa and Kelly covered my questions already, but I've got some more. So,
all right, bye bye, Phil.
I really wanted to get into the earthworm experience, but yeah, I think you covered it already. So, one of the first things for Eben really is people talk of having spiritual awakenings, but then they might go on to say that perhaps a medium gave them a message from their father or something, which I think more is a lovely spiritual nudge or an awareness rather than a profound awakening. And this could be taken as quite a throwaway question, but I mean this sincerely, like, how have you remained so humble when you've had answers to arguably the biggest question that there is and not fallen into a kind of guru complex? Because I think many people do, even with lesser encounters with the divine.
Well, I think, you know, one thing to remember about my story is I was adopted. It's a giant part of who I am. My birth mother left me behind when I was 11 days old.
Yeah.
And it's hard to move from that to a point of kind of overstressing your ego beyond you know, its actual value. So it's really just about harvesting love for the world. And that's what came from this for me. I mean, this was a gigantic dive into that love of that God force and the interconnected love that binds us all together. And it's just hard to come back from that kind of an authentic, heartfelt oneness experience and host, you know, a big kind of dysfunctional ego in the middle of it. It just doesn't work.
So I still think it's commendable. I feel that there are, I'm not going to name any names, but I think there are plenty of people out there that, that let their egos get in the way. Do you think that's...
Are we talking about Kelly?
Teresa.
Following on from that, do you think, I mean, I think you've kind of answered it. I was going to follow that up with if this, was there a divine timing to it? Like if this had happened when you were 30 years old, maybe that would have shaped your life in a different way. Do you think that this happening at the stage in life where you were was a contributing factor to the message that you brought back from it?
Absolutely. I think in general, you know, there are no accidents. That's one thing. So meaningful coincidences, synchronicities, I pay a lot of attention to. And when I look back on my life, all these events, including, you know, my adoption, abandonment wound, the fact I had to struggle and had to give up alcohol back early in my career, back in 1991, you know, but I look at that as a blessing. It was a blessing that I had that struggle. And likewise, having this severe meningitis 18 years ago that should have killed me, it was one of the greatest things to ever happen. So this is another way of looking at hardship and challenge and difficulty in life and embracing them as kind of stepping stones, so that now when I look back on it, all this makes sense. And it's like, of course it happened the way it did and unfolded in a very natural and effective order. If you had told me 20 years ago that I was headed into that meningitis and almost dying, I would have said that makes no sense at all, especially if you then told me, and it'll change your life in extremely positive ways. You know, I never would have bought all that. And yet in retrospect, it's like, yes, this beautiful force of consciousness that we share, and I believe free will is a very key concept here, that we all manifest a beautiful sense of free will, and that's a gift. And of course, we can pay a price for that too. And that's why that life review is there for people who err too far, away from love, kindness, compassion, mercy, acceptance. The life review offers you a way to kind of, try and improve your overall, soul journey before the next incarnation and things like that. But to me, it all seems perfectly natural and like an incredible gift. But again, that's a big message to people to focus on all the events of their life as being contributory. And this is where it gets back to this discussion of dreams, nightmares, kind of the downside of dreams, the downside of like NDEs, there's maybe 5 to 6% of them are very negative, but they still give you the same very positive transformational effects. So I think that's the important thing to get, is these journeys into the spirit, which is really just a way of saying connected mind, is the beautiful way of allowing us to wake up to the souls we truly came here to be and to manifest that free will and become the very best version of ourselves that we can become.
And on that theme of connection, I'm just going to ask you, Karen, how you and you live and work together and how you met. And I know that Alex also has another question to ask. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing how you and Evan met, and then Alex, please jump in with your question. I know you had one for Karen.
Well, we were both attending a workshop that involved using sound, a facilitator training program. And when we met, I knew he had had a near-death experience, but I didn't know anything else really about him. And so I said to him, and this was before Proof of Heaven came out. He didn't have an agent. His story wasn't known very publicly, maybe just locally. But I said to him, I knew, just like Kelly wanted to know, she said she had an NDE, that you carry something. There's an important lesson that you learn from your near-death experience. And so I went right to that. I said, "What did you learn?" And he said, "The brain doesn't create consciousness." And I was confused because usually the lesson is very personal. And he was so into the science. And I said, "Well, why would anyone think that it does? Why would anyone think the brain creates consciousness?" I didn't know that was sort of the scientific, center of materialism, that all of consciousness arises out of consciousness. I didn't know what a big deal it was. And I said, "Well, what about the love? People talk about the love." And he said, "Oh, yeah, the love." And I said, "Well, that's what I want to know about. I've experienced that love. I don't know if it's the kind you've experienced over there, but wow, that's what I want to know about." And he said, "Oh, you can't bring that love back here." And I said, "Wait a minute. How can that be? Because I've experienced it in meditation." And thus began our exploration for me to learn more about science and for Eben to learn more about really bringing that love into lives, the love of the spiritual universe. So that's how we met. And we're married
I'm
now.
so glad you
Yeah,
met.
congratulations.
I can actually say you're husband and wife now.
Oh,
Oh,
beautiful. Happy New Year to
congratulations. You've made an honest woman of her, Eben.
Absolutely. She
And
certainly
she's
made an
made an
honest
honest
man of
man of
me.
him. Alex, quickly for your question, because I know we've got a
Yes.
show.
Yeah, Karen, I just wanted to circle back to Sacred Acoustics and the
Yes.
platform that you've built because it's such an amazing resource. I just wondered if you could say a little bit more about that and, crucially, how it can help us with our dreams.
Well, the reason that it helps with your dreams is because it interferes with your brainwave state. And so when you
In a
sleep at
good
night,
way.
yes, in a good way. So when you're sleeping at night, you're generally in the delta. Your brain is putting out delta delta brainwaves. But when you're dreaming, your brain shifts into alpha. And so alpha is known as the state, if you're walking and talking, that's a state where you're just very profoundly focused. Maybe you're reading or studying, but in dreams, alpha means your brain is active and seeing imagery and things like that. And so we can fall asleep at night bringing these sort of alpha and theta brainwaves into your brain. It kind of just enlivens them. The tones don't seem to affect you only while you're listening. They can have lasting effects. But generally, if you want to affect your dreams, I would listen before bedtime. But our recordings can help with focus. They can help with sleep. They can help with meditation, creative inspiration, anything that kind of removes you out of that beta state where you're walking, you're talking, you're kind of running your daily routine. When you can escape out of that, really just a minor step out of that, that's an altered state of consciousness. So it's not like an altered state of consciousness is something exotic and strange. It's actually something you get in, like I said earlier, every night as you're falling asleep, that hypnagogic state is an altered state of consciousness, completely normal and natural. But the tones, the sacred acoustic frequencies, help you, I kind of say sometimes it helps you get into a lucid dreaming state from an awake state. Where you get into that state, you might start seeing imagery. You can use intention to control, manage is a better word, manage what's going on. And so those are just some of the little tidbits in
thank
a quick
you,
way.
Karen. And that's sacredacoustics.com, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
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 Thank you. And Action Pack Show, as I said, Kelly, joining the show today is a very popular podcaster, certified life coach, and grief to growth founder, Brian Smith. Brian, hello. Are you here?
Yeah. Hi, Teresa.
Hello,
how are you?
Hi, Brian. Lovely to see you. And I know you have, you're going to be a guest a couple of months down the line on the show. I know.
Yeah.
Thank you. Looking forward to that. But I know you have a question for Eben, about spiritual support during the grieving process or whatever you want to ask him.
Yeah, I actually do have a question more along the scientific my model, because science is always promising us one day we're going to be able to explain the NDE or we're going to be able to explain consciousness. And I know, Dr. Alexander, you were a committed materialist before your NDE, and you faced a lot of scientific criticism since then. And they're always saying, okay, well, oxygen deprivation, a DMT dump, REM intrusion. Are there any models or anything that might convince you someday that your experience was purely neurological or biological?
No. There's the most important thing to point out here is since my coma, I've gained scientific knowledge, as I said earlier, about the reality of the afterlife. And when you realize, for example, at University of Virginia, over 65 years, they've studied more than 2,500 cases of past life memories in children suggestive of reincarnation. Of those, they've solved 1,700 plus cases. So they've actually, when they did the homework, they found the person the child is describing actually did live before. And the child had no other way of getting that information. So once you realize the strength of the reincarnation data, and it's not just UVA, other investigators have done these studies too, you realize we need a much bigger model. You know, if all we were doing was talking about NDEs, and I will also point out that shared death experiences and the hospice experience both confirm the findings of NDEs as being what we all go through as we approach death. So for people who say, oh, it's oxygen tension, CO2 levels, etc., you cannot explain that away when you have this other information. And then the shared death experience in many ways is like a near-death experience, many of the same qualities, but they happen in perfectly healthy people, either a healthcare worker or a family member who might be 1,000 miles away, but that the soul of the departing person can come through and grab the soul of the bystander, even to the point where the bystander soul sees a full life review and then comes back to this world. So with all these other pieces of information, the shared death, the hospice support, and then of course quantum physics and all the evidence for non-local consciousness in parapsychology, like for example, 35% of identical twins have a powerful telepathy. So all of these things together tell us we need a much bigger model. Materialism fails. It doesn't begin to answer all these other major questions. And of course, materialism has never held any sway with having an explanation of how consciousness emerges from the brain. The hard problem of consciousness is as hard as it's ever been. And it's a problem for materialism, not for bigger models like evolutionary panentheism, which I think is a much better answer for what we're talking about.
Oh,
Awesome.
thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank
Yeah.
you, Brian. I love the energy you're bringing. I can feel it. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
And the energy is growing and expanding now as we're bringing in someone who embodies this sacred union between spirituality and music, aren't we, Kelly?
Yes, it's former X Factor UK finalist, the one, the only, Maitreya. His famous song is I Saw the Light. When we mentioned Evan was going to be on the show, he was laser focused on getting on. So one, it's so wonderful to meet you, Maitreya. Thank you so much for coming on. And I know you have something that you'd like to ask Evan about. So take it away.
Well, thank you so much for the incredible introduction
Wait.
There. I really appreciate that. And it's an absolute honor and a really weird synchronicity to be on this call, actually, because Dr. Alexander, your books was one of the first books I read after my partner died. So when I was, I did the X Factor and stuff like that, and I went on tour and I met my partner, and she passed away in an accident, and I was looking for all sorts of answers whilst in that process. And I was going to different religions and different texts and searching for answers, and I read your book. Mm-hmm. And that led me on a journey then to becoming a lot more interested in these realms. And it led me onto Terence McKenna and Alan Watts and Ram Dass and all of these mm-hmm. types of people. And that was really the pinpoint, the start of that journey for me, being interested in these realms. And after having my own experience of sort of these realms, I'm feeling now that there is a collision with the reality that we're living in now and these other dimensions. And actually people are perceiving these dimensions now in their waking life. I know I'm feeling that there's almost a pressure point where these are sort of like trying to integrate and the veil is thinning. Is there a way of scientifically explaining this, or at least making it digestible now for people who are going through sort of ascension symptoms, or as they are kind of called out there in the spiritual sphere? But I guess it's trying to pinpoint now how we can dilute that information into people's lives who are ordinary, who are experiencing this but can't put it into context. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's a very good point. And a lot of what we try and do, and what, for example, we did in our book, Living in a Mindful Universe, was to bring the scientific information together in a way that we thought was understandable by most of the reading public, but also give people clues, hints of how to use meditation. We have a lot of information in that book about sacred acoustics and how people can put it to use in their lives. And I'll point out there's also a companion workbook that goes with that Living in a Mindful Universe. It's at evanalexander.com, The 33-Day Journey. And people can take that. It's completely free. More than 14,000 people have taken it. And it's an excellent way for people to get up to speed quickly, not only on all the scientific concepts we're talking about, but on the personal development tools like meditation and things, how to put that to work in your...
Explain it some? Oh, the dimensions and stuff people
Well, yeah, use? If you're looking for the bigger scientific answer, I'd say yes. For one thing, there's a Bernard Carr. He's a British. He was Stephen Hawking's last postdoc, and Bernard Carr is doing beautiful work on higher dimensional interpretations of all this. Hyperspatial, hyperdimensional, and that involves more than one temporal dimension. That's very important. That because in NDE you were absolutely liberated from earth time. You're no longer slave to earth time at all. Completely free in that spiritual space. And this is something we can all learn to cultivate through meditation and centering prayer. Once you realize that your mind is not simply, a local process in this 3.5-pound gelatinous mass floating in a warm bath between my ears, but that the mind, the brain is filtering the mind of the universe.
So the holographic universe is another scientific concept, really easy to understand too.
Right. And then, as Karen was pointing out, the entanglement field. In 2022, the Nobel Prize in Physics was given for entanglement in quantum physics, which is a complete refutation of, four-dimensional space-time as the ultimate theater of operations of science, and also of what's called local realism, which is what Einstein was trying to preserve. So there definitely are some big-picture models I would say that entanglement field is what is necessary to explain life reviews and the fact that we have reliving of events from the perspective of all involved. I mean, how does the universe pull that off? It's pretty astonishing, and yet that's a very common feature of life reviews. So there's a lot of work happening in the scientific world, and in fact, I would remind people or advise people that some of my greatest support in the last 18 years has come from the scientific community. Mm. Now there's a dark little corner of it that's not as enlightened, but a lot of people get this. And yes, we are working on the worldviews that'll help this whole world to wake up.
Yeah. Karen and Evan, Maitreya, oh my goodness, what lovely connections we make, or wonderful mind-opening connections we make on the show. Maitreya, you must talk to our guest presenter, Phil, as well. I feel there's connection there, don't you, Kelly? I wish we had more time, but we do have to bring the show to a close now, but musically.
Musically, yeah. I think we're going to play a little bit of Maitreya's song, I Saw the Light, and I think that going forward, Evan, this should probably be your theme song.
Your theme song. Yes, and Karen's, yeah. And to every
and Karen.
And to every dream decoding, Kelly, as well, because we're going to play out the show with it, aren't we? Should be the theme song for every dream decoding, Maitreya.
I'm always giving away the plot ahead of time. I saw the light.
I'm blown away. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. What a fabulous show. Okay, we don't want this to end, but on a parallel plane, we'll continue on the butterfly wings. We'll join Evan and Karen. We'll all be together. So as we do this, Johan, take it away. I Saw the Light by Maitreya.
Broken and bruised in darkness and ruins, hopeless pursued intervals of abuse. My hands bound and blinded, change my disguises. Don't think that the sun will rise then. I saw the light. Chewed up and spit out, strung up and shut down. Feels like no way out, this silence when I shout. It's all life has been to me, I close off so easily. The darkness would bend and in the end I saw the light. Wake up, 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 wake up